Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 299 of Cosmo, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Hooray.
We're almost there.
One more episode to go, and then it's 300, which would have been this year if we didn't change everything, but that's fine.
It's okay. We can give the new year a new start
with
a big bang by starting off with episode 300.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We've got a couple things we're trying to get into the work, so hang tight. Yes. We'll talk about it in the update section.
And of course, we invite everybody watching to start gathering your memories of the past 299 episodes, your favorite things that you saw on the show, your favorite segments, your favorite conventions that we may have gone to or interviews that we've done, because we've done a ton of stuff.
Just this year alone, we have done so many interviews. So, yeah.
Yes. And we've done a ton of book reviews, too, for some amazing authors in cosplay. And so, of course, if you have favorite books, too, please share those, because as we're going to be talking about today, it might make a wonderful gift for your favorite cosplay other. I love segues.
I know, right?
That's another you could also note your favorite segue that we've done in the past 299 episodes.
Do segues still exist?
They do, but they're not really as much in use anymore because they have all of the e-scooters.
Right. Like, I know about the e-scooters and the e-bikes now, so.
Yes. And so those have kind of more or less taken the place of segues.
The kind of segues in their own way.
Without the nice balancing.
I know that they have the ones that without the stands on them, and I've heard them listed as like, I've heard them as virtual skateboards and then something else type of skateboards. And I'm like, it's basically a Segway, but without the thing to hold on them.
I mean, a lot of places are getting a little sick of them too, because people like to leave them everywhere.
They're not very good about it.
I don't think people would do that with a Segway.
No.
Just saying.
Maybe bring back the Segway.
But of course, here we practice the verbal segue as we move into our cosplay updates.
Do you have any, Amber?
I mean, frankly, you're going to laugh. Anybody who's watching this on video, for those who are listening via audio, I'm about to hold up a tiny pile of foam pieces.
Honestly, that sounds about on brand for you.
I have this one. I have
this sandwich. One. Sandwich.
They are. It's because I'm having to cut out 10 of each finger armor piece. And I ran out of foam. I used up all of my scrap, which is a good thing because, of course, that was one of my goals this year, is to start using up more of my supplies so that I don't have to worry about storage space for one and hoarding for two. And so I'm going to paint these. You can see they are different colors, obviously, because I had two different colors of foam. You may recognize the orange from when we did the Halloween, the witch hat challenge. Yes, this was the last of that orange piece that I had.
Yay!
And so I'm putting it to good use. But I'm going to paint all the pieces black. You say, Amber, why are you painting them all black if the armor is not black? Well, speaking of favorite past episodes, if you have not had a chance, go back and listen to our episode where we reviewed Vulpin's book on painting and weathering. It's because depending on the underlying color beneath the metallic finish that you put on it, silver, gold, or whatever, that it actually changes how that color, how that metallic sheen appears. So if you have a white underbody on it, it will look one way. And if you have a black underbody, it will look a different way. And you can actually even do different colors if you want different effects. You can do blue, you can do purple, and it will change the reflection. And so I've opted to go black for mine because I want a very particular reflection on the silver that I'm going to put over it eventually. And so that is what I have been slowly working on doing. It takes me a while just because I have to use little manicure scissors. In fact, I have to use these little things.
The little
baby scissors.
See how
tiny those are?
Yeah.
I have to use these to cut everything out, and it actually cramps my hands after a while because they're so freaking tiny. And it's taken me a while to cut all of those out. I have to do it one by one. Could I have used an X-Acto knife? Potentially. But it also doesn't quite give me the same clean result, at least when I've done it, as these do. And so I'm just about done. I literally only have two pieces left. and then I can start assembling the hand armor because
Nice.
it's both arms, so I had to cut everything out twice. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with paint because, I mean, aside from the fact that I'm going to have to basically go buy dollar store drop cloth to put on my patio so I don't get anything messy, but thankfully, we're also supposed to have a nice cold snap here in North Texas, which is wonderful because it's supposed to be 80 degrees tomorrow, and that is just not right in late November. I need the cold so I can get in the vibes, but that also means it's going to affect how spray paint dries because it has a
Yes.
very particular preferred temperature, just like resin does. And so I don't know how that's going to affect my ability to spray paint. I may just have to wait until the cold snap is over just for best results because I don't want it to be tacky. That's the number one complaint I see on Reddit whenever I see people asking about spray painting different things. Like, oh, why is this still so tacky? I left it outside for 3 days. It's like, has to be a certain temperature, has to be a certain humidity. Did you put too much paint on it? Like, did you hold the rattle can too close to it? Did you spray it too many layers? Did you not wait enough time in between layers? Did you prime it first? Like, there are so many factors on how spray paint dries. It's a bit of a pain and a bit of an experiment. So we shall see, fingers crossed, because I don't really want to have to cut out more of those. That is my spiel on cosplay
Good stuff. I haven't had time to do cosplay because I've just been too busy
updates.
with work. So instead, you're going to get Cospod updates. Yay. So I know Amber mentioned at the top of the episode that episode 300 is coming up. That's not going to be this year. It's going to be the start of
January.
season 14 in January. Yeah, season 14. 14 years, guys. Enjoy that thought. I know we are.
Cospod is a teenager.
We are more than a teenager now. We are super official
Yes.
teenage years.
Yes.
So what we're doing is I've already started making posts about this, but I am collecting responses from everybody about, your favorite episodes, favorite guests, favorite moments, any fun cosplay stories you want to share, whatever you want to do. If you want to respond to us through direct message on the post itself, or I made a Google form which has been linked, and you can hop in there, send us what you want. Everything's anonymous, so if you don't want to share your name, you don't have to share your name. That's cool. But also, if you guys have any ideas or suggestions of things you want to see in episode 300, just let us know. Give us a shout as quickly as possible so we have time to kind of put it all together. I haven't had a chance to look at the responses yet, but I know that we've had a couple. So I'm thankful.
Yes.
Thank you guys for that so far. Yay! But feel free to keep sending those in. That would be awesome.
Yes. And if you have ideas on what you'd like to see in season 14, any particular people you want us to interview, any products that you'd like us to review, or any new books that you know are going to be coming out that you want us to review, conventions you'd like us to look at going to, no promises can be made there. But any ideas that you have for next season as well, those are also very welcome.
So yeah, that's the only thing that I have for Cospod stuff. There you go.
Yes, we've been doing this for 13 seasons already, and we are ever so grateful to the audience members who have been sticking with us, both new and old. Even if you weren't here from episode one, which actually might be for the better considering episode one, for those who have been with us, thank you very much. For those who have just joined us, also thank you very much.
Yes.
We literally would just be talking to the internet if you all were not here.
It is immensely appreciated. We are most definitely the longest running cosplay related podcast out there.
And actually, we've outlasted a lot of standard podcasts, like
Yep.
even cosplay related too. And we have met so many Potters over the years at conventions. We've sat and talked shop with a lot of you all. We've talked with a lot of you all online whenever you send us, in progress pictures or different stories for whenever we do, cosplay horror stories during our After Darks
Yep.
and things like that. So it's all very appreciated and we're very grateful.
Thank you. Much hearts to all of you. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, tis the season for thanks.
Yes.
At least here in the States.
Yes. For thanks and dead turkeys.
For some, for those who may be vegetarian, there are other options, of
Yes.
course.
Yeah, a faux turkey. Dead faux turkey. There you go.
Although, if you went the nailed it route, then you could
Oh,
have a turkey-looking
yeah,
cake
there you
and
go.
have that instead.
You can have that instead. You can make that vegan, sure.
Yeah, totally.
Can totally do that.
They have some very skilled cake makers.
They do. Better than I could do. I make you good know, things. I just don't decorate very well.
It very much reminded me, and we'll get into the topic here in just a second because I promise this is a good segue, but it reminded me just how much of, you know, the premise of Nailed It is to make a cake that looks like something that is not a cake.
Yeah. Right?
And so it got me thinking, what would the cosplay equivalent of Nailed It be? And I think the only thing I can think of is basically it's iron cosplay.
Yeah, really.
You're just trying to take materials to make it look like a knockoff version of
right.
said cosplay. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize it, but I've been doing Nailed It all these years as I participate in iron cosplay.
We've done it in our own special way.
We did. I mean, we even did it with our witch hats.
Yeah.
We did Nailed It with witch hats.
Gosh, my hat was atrocious, and I apologize
I
to
think
the world.
Both of our hats were atrocious.
No, yours was actually very good looking, but it was very funny that there
From
was the basically no back. Which honestly is, it is so cosplay where it's just like, you just need to do the top of it for the armor. Don't worry about the underside. No one's going to see that. It's fine.
I mean, it's like the 10-foot rule that we have in cosplay. As long as it looks good from 10 feet and no one is flipping your seams.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Honestly, it's the same thing as like stage costuming rules. It's like, you know what? As long as it's you're 10 feet away and it looks good, thumbs up. No one needs to see the rest of it. It's fine.
I mean, admittedly, I have done the same at conventions where it's like, I have to have this finished in time for the convention. I'm not going to lose sleep. I'm not going to work on it the night of. I'm not going to work until 2 a.m. in the morning. So I just make it look good enough.
Good enough, yeah.
It's like, can I wear this at the convention? Doesn't matter what the underside looks like. Doesn't really matter what the back looks like as long as it's covered up. Doesn't really matter as long as you're not coming closer than like 5 feet. That's all that matters.
It's fine.
But let's look at the things that you would want to give cosplayers to help out should they wish to participate in an iron cosplay.
Yes, it's time for our holiday gift guide, the annual holiday gift guide that comes after the annual After Dark episode. The two annual episodes of the year.
Yeah, occasionally we've actually done them switched where we do the gift giving episode first and then we do the After
Dark. Yeah, and then
dark.
We end on After Dark, but it's different exactly. This year because we're different.
Yes. But we have a ton of things, by which I mean 5 to 7 each.
Yeah. That's still a lot.
Indeed. And these are gifts that are hopefully a little bit off the beaten path to give you inspiration for what you might give somebody in your life who is really into cosplay or wants to be into cosplay. Because obviously there are the usual gifts, like you can give them gift cards to different craft stores. You can give them bolts of fabric, that sort of thing. We're going to try and give you other ideas, things that are a little bit more creative. Do you want to start?
Sure, I will start first. The first thing that I came up with was a cosplay tool belt or a craft apron. And this is really fun too. If you are somebody who also likes to sew or make things, you can customize it for your friend in a special type of fabric, different kinds of like buttons and snaps and Velcro, or you know your friend or this cosplay person in your life well enough that you can make something that's tailored for them. And I've made a couple of these for friends of mine too, and they still use them. And I think that's kind of great because it's one of those weird items where it's like, you know, how would I get use out of this? And for me, what I love about having that apron is I can have all of my tools on me within a moment's notice. I can just kind of whip out what I need from the pockets and not worry about having to sprawl them all over the table and make a mess there. It's all within my apron and easy access. And especially for me, because I'm the type of person where it comes to my scissors and whenever I'm sewing, and for some reason, if I place my scissors down on the table, they vanish. So as I'm done with the seam, I'm like, where are my scissors? And then I spend 5 minutes trying to figure out where the scissors are, and it's literally just sitting like right there in front of my face. I just can't see it because I'm silly. But if I put them in the apron, they stay in the apron and they don't go anywhere, and it's easy for me to fish them out. So,
but the important thing is to have pockets.
Yes, pockets are, you have to have pockets with these. You cannot skip the pocket rule. Have as many pockets as you can put on there, ideally 3, maybe 6. Maybe 10 if they're like really into pockets. Why not? Your pocket can have a pocket. Sure. Accordion
different
pockets are great.
Pocket, yes. Different sized pockets as well.
Yes.
Can be very helpful. But I would also suggest if you make it custom for somebody, try and make it washable, machine
Yes, it
washable if you
needs to
can.
be fabric that can be machine wash and that can take a pretty good beating on it. So I prefer like cottons. Cottons with the print in specific, because I mean, then you can get something that's really fun for them. Like if they happen to like Legend of Zelda, well, then you can go get Legend of Zelda prints. It's great. But then also that means like it's a good space for them where if like if they accidentally splatter paint on it, that's okay. It's not getting their clothes dirty. They can just chuck it into the wash and you know, maybe it'll come up with a cool little design because of that. Who knows?
I would say you could probably do something similar to what you do with corsets, which is where you have the fun fabric on the outside, and then you have a utility like a duck canvas or something on the back, just so that it's a little bit more durable,
Durable.
especially if you put sharp tools like scissors into it so that it's not going to accidentally slice through the fabric in the back.
But yeah, that is my
Yeah, you
first
could.
suggestion. That's a fun one too, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback from my crafter friends on getting those.
You never know like just how useful it can be, because you mentioned
Yes.
sometimes people say, I don't know how useful this would be. Try wearing it, and then you won't be able to go without it after that.
It makes a big difference.
It does. And actually, speaking of pockets, my first suggestion is storage. This is a tackle box.
That was on my
And
list. I'm going to take that one off. I had an extra anyway.
I have a few things I've crossed off because I have spares. And I specifically mean small storage that has like little drawers or dividers in it. So not like giant Tupperware container storage, although also helpful.
Helpful.
But the reason I say small storage like this, and you can see this has my spools of thread in it, is that you can use these to store so many things. And not just spools of thread, you can use them to store bobbins, you can store
Yes.
dye bottles, you can
Yeah.
store small bottles of paint, you can store needles, you can store magnets, you can store like basically anything small that you use as you're crafting. And it's very easy to keep them organized because on the inside they come with dividing walls. And some of them actually have removable dividing
I
walls,
got
and
a
that can
set
be
of
even
that.
better
It's
so
so
that you can
fun.
customize
Yep.
how yours looks. But I have several tackle boxes, which, if you can't find these in the crafting section, look in the fishing section or the sporting goods of the store and look for tackle boxes, which is what this is basically. This is just the crafter's version so they can charge you more. And go
Yes.
back and listen to our episode on the crafting upcharge if you don't know what I'm talking about. But this is so useful. Anytime someone gives this to you, it will get used. And then they'll probably ask you for more
Yes.
because there's never enough small storage.
Especially when you have like buttons, zippers, snaps, just these random little
Yes.
small things that it's like, okay, I've opened the pack and you know it's a plastic pack and it just kind of goes everywhere. You can't really put it back
Right.
in the pack. If you have those small little storage containers, lifesaver. Like one of mine is just a simple, like two-sided, one of those like pill containers, like you're supposed to have like one for every day of the week. I just took one of those and used that as button storage. It's great. It's perfect. It fits my needs great.
It's good for any kind of sewing notions. You can have snaps, you can
Yep.
have grommets, you can have buttons, you can have basically any small items that you have to sew that come in like large quantities that are easy to lose. Heaven knows I've lost plenty of snaps over the years. Yeah, they're really good for sewing notions, which is why I have so many tackle boxes, as all my sewing notions go into it.
Yep. I feel this.
Yes.
Okay, my next two items are actually more for convention use. So the first one I'm going to mention is a portable charging bank,
Yes.
which, for those who do not know, is a freaking lifesaver, especially at conventions. It's just this small little block of just chunky, chunky thing that you take with you. And they've gotten very small and very lightweight as of late, so it's great that you can
They can
use
be.
to charge up your phone, or depending on if you have any electronics in your costume and what type of charging system it could take, it could charge up pieces of your costume. Anybody knows that if you go to a convention, these suckers die super fast. And whatever time that you can get to charge these on the go, that's where the charging bank comes in handy. They come in all different sizes. Some of them are like rapid charge, which does mean that they themselves take a little bit more time to charge. So you may only get like three or four uses out of them before you have to go back and charge those back up. Some of them are long charges. Some of them have different lengths. I mean, it's just, you know, whatever looks best for you and work best for the friend or cosplayer in your life. But anybody who goes to a convention, a portable charging bank is just a wonderful thing to have.
And if you go to international conventions, make sure that you take the correct plug to charge your power bank. Because it would be very bad if you went to go use your power bank and it's discharged, but you can't charge it again. It's very sad.
It's very sad. I have noticed that more of them are set up now to take the international plugs. And they also give you like different plug options. Like I think mine has USB, A, B, C, and like a couple of other options that I can plug in. And it's just like, man, I could have like four phones from different vendors attached to this and we'd all be good.
It's very helpful too if you have things like EL wire on your costume or an LED array or fiber optic wire and it needs a specific kind of plug. That way you can use the same power bank for both your phone and for your accessories.
Yep.
My next thing, speaking of things that light up, is good lighting. By which I don't mean, you know, $5 lamp. You may have to spend a little bit of money, and I'm talking more like $50. So it's not going to break the bank. But you can get a really good ring light style lamp. In other words, it's a lamp whose bulb is a ring. But the reason I say this is because a lot of those now have the bulbs where you can have daylight, you can have soft light, you can have different kinds of light so that you can see how your cosplay is going to look in different conditions. And having good quality light also helps prevent eye strain when you're sitting there sewing for hours and hours and hours on end. Same thing goes for painting, because painting uses the muscles in your eyes a lot too. And you really can't discount a good light. And if you don't want to spend $50 on one of the light style like ring lamps, you can get them. This is going to sound so crazy. You can get them a headlamp, like literally the kind that has the elastic band that goes around your head and has a little small LED lamp that goes in front. But having that kind of light as you're working on something makes it so much easier on your eyes. And it also means that you can work like after dinner if you want to, when there's not as much daylight outside. And it's good on your eyes. And you will thank yourself as you get older in life, when you really need to have those eyes working. And just the last lighting thing I wanted to mention, because I didn't even know this existed until last year. For those who crochet, they make LED crochet hooks.
Yes.
It has an LED built into the hook so that you can literally see as you're crocheting, you can see your stitches.
Yeah.
That is so freaking cool. Whoever thought of that, bless you. Like, I need a set of LED crochet hooks. It saves your eyes. It really does.
It does.
And you can change the power level on them so that you're not blinding yourself as you're sitting there, you know, staring at your crochet. Because you can do the same for knitting. You can do the same for hand sewing. It's the same sort of thing. But just generally speaking, good quality lighting is good for you.
I mean, that technically is one of mine, but I said that I was going to talk about a second thing for cons. So you know what? We're going to keep going with what I said earlier.
We'll go with an
So the other thing that I recommend as a good fun gift is reusable lint rollers. It's one of those things people don't think about. But honestly, if you take 2 minutes to roll out your costume and you realize all the stuff that is on them, man, it comes in handy, especially after a day of walking the convention floor. Just run a lint roller over it and call it a day and you're good. But specifically the reusable ones, because they're very, very easy to clean. You don't have to worry about, you know, adding more waste to the environment, because those the ones where you just have to keep tearing the rolls off, those things are not good.
Plus, then you have to keep buying refills.
Yeah, just to buy more refills. And the cool thing is that a lot of those reusable ones have become so much more compact in their size, but still, I mean, do exactly what you need them to do. So they're easy to kind of chuck into your luggage without having to worry about it taking up too much space. I have one that I use day to day or whenever I go see my parents' dog, and those things are wonderful. They pick up dog hair great. I can confirm this.
They're also great if you do outdoor photo shoots.
Yes.
And you get like dust or pollen or things on your costume outside. Because at least for me, during certain times of the year when there's ragweed, I am very allergic to ragweed. And so if somebody were to come in with their costume from outside full of it, I would have an allergy attack.
Oh,
So
yeah.
if you have one of those rollers, you can at least take care of maybe not all of it, but the bulk of it. And so it not only helps you, but it also helps the people around you who might have allergies.
I mean, even if you're doing it on the photo shoot itself, it's so much easier just to wipe away the thing than to have somebody Photoshop
Yes, definitely.
it out.
So much less time.
Yes, but that's a really like low-cost gift that will have multiple uses both with cosplay and outside of cosplay.
Yes. All right. My next item, circular cutters. Circular cutters are little devices. They're little round discs that are about 3 inches across. You can get them in different sizes. And they have a handle on top. And what you do is you spin the circle, and there's a little X-Acto blade on the bottom so that as you spin the circle, the blade cuts in a circle. If you have to cut a lot of circles, this will save you. It is the equivalent of a bias tape maker for making bias tape by hand. It automates the process so much easier. It works on paper, it works on foam, it works on fabric. You can get blades that work with all of them. Just make sure that you keep the blade sharp because a sharp blade is a safe blade. If you have a blunt blade, the reason they say that is because if you have a blunt blade, you're more likely to try and push harder to force it to cut, and that's more likely to cause accidents. So having a circular cutter that has a sharp blade is actually really helpful. I use circular cutters on foam a lot because I have a tendency to need to cut a lot of foam circles for when I'm, say, backing gems, when I'm having to adhere them to like clothing for superhero style costumes or to props like swords and weapons and such. And it saves your hands so much from having to use a pair of scissors and just constantly cut out a bunch of circles. Ugh. They're not expensive. Generally, you can get a good circular cutter for $5. And then, as you need to, you can get replacement blades. And the replacement blades are also fairly inexpensive. I think a package is like $2. So, that is my next one.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump off of one that Amber listed previously, which was the white light ring. It's just a craft lamp. But I'm specifically saying a craft lamp, which I know there's a little bit of a markup here. But the way that they are designed is specifically to help you whenever you are using your sewing machine. It helps ease your eye strain and it makes everything so much brighter, clearer, easier to see what you are doing without having to worry about everything else around you.
It's not, you don't want to depend on your sewing machine light.
No, that's not powerful enough. It's not powerful enough. And usually those are a mucky yellow light. You can change out the light bulbs. I've seen them producing more of the white light bulbs now, but there just is not enough strength in them to really illuminate the space so you can properly see what you were doing. Whereas with you have an actual craft lamp and it can be either a tabletop or a full stand, it helps illuminate your entire workspace. You can properly see, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm putting together. We can do the thing and things will be gravy. They are a bit more expensive, I will say that, but I have had mine for, wow. It's been over a decade now, easily a decade, and it's still going. I have yet to replace the light bulb in it. That's how good it is. So it is an investment, but oh my gosh, it is absolutely worth it.
Since we're jumping off of each other's suggestions, I'm going to jump off of your conventioning
Okay.
suggestions. This is going to sound odd, but if you go back and listen to our cooking episode, you'll understand this. A convention survival kit.
That could be fun.
And you have to know whoever you're giving it to, you have to know their dietary preferences for this. Because what you can give them is basically a little gift basket that has different snacks in it that they can eat, healthy snacks, perhaps a couple containers of cup noodle, or you can have like cup veggies, or basically just something where you add water and chuck in microwave so that they have a meal to eat, not just snacks and not just, ramen and ramune, but substantial food You put in a little hygiene kit, so like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, like they have in hotels, because not every hotel has those for you. So you just give them little travel containers of the things that they'll need to take care of business. Put in a little thing of deodorant to remind people that you should also wear deodorant at conventions. And then
Depending
you
on your
might.
friend, that may or may not be a good way to go. Some people might take offense
Like
to that.
I said, it's not meant to like be punitive, but you have to know their preferences. So maybe they
Right.
have like a nice body spray that they wear.
Yeah.
Okay, do that instead. But that's what I'm getting at, in other words. And then the last thing you put in there is you put a little sleep mask and maybe a little lavender sachet or something that has a scent that they very much enjoy that will calm. Because the whole point is to sustain them during the day, make sure that they can take care of business at night, and then get a good night's sleep. And so you just get a little gift basket with this little convention survival kit, good for one convention, because it'll only be enough food for one. But that would be really welcomed, I think, if you had that and you took it with you to a convention. And if you wanted to, you can put it in a nice little like tote bag or a convention bag if you wanted to go that route.
Okay, my next suggestion was to pay for your cosplay friend's photo session. Maybe there's a photographer that they've always wanted to work with, and maybe they're just a little bit too expensive, or they had just finished this great costume, but they really don't have the funds available to get that photo that they want of it. You could pay for their next photo session. Work it out between your cosplay friend and the photographer to figure out the time, the date, and you cover the bill. It's pretty straightforward, but cosplayers, all of us, genuinely want wonderful photos of this work that we have put together. And if you can help contribute to that, we will love you forever.
And you might do it in the form of like a gift certificate, which can
Yeah.
be like a fake gift certificate that basically says, hey, you make the arrangements and I'll pay for it. Or
Right.
it can be an actual gift certificate if,
If
you know,
that's
you do it with a
offered.
photography studio that's offering it.
Yeah. There's
And
definitely
that
fun
way,
ways you can dress it up.
exactly. And that way the friend can choose the day and time and or convention if it's at a convention that works best for them. All right, my next one, I have a lot of kits in mind.
That's okay, you're a kit person.
Yes, my next one is a good quality paintbrush kit.
Those are
Because
valuable.
you can get really cheap paintbrushes, and all the hair comes out on them, and they don't spread paint very well, or it leaves streaks, and they break really easily, or the handle comes apart. And you could also do foam brushes, but again, foam brushes will disintegrate after a little while. So if you have somebody that does a lot of painting, and I don't just mean like Bob Ross style painting or like plaster ornament painting. I mean like painting on fabric for cosplay or painting of props, that sort of thing. Then get them a nice paintbrush kit. It's not very expensive, costs about $20. And you get natural hair brushes, not synthetic, natural
Natural.
hair brushes. And make sure that they are good quality handles. Some of them actually will come with like nice handles. And then make sure that you get a set of at least six. So preferably not like, I know there are some sets that come with like only two or three. It's you generally want three detail brushes and then three larger, broader brushes so that if you need to like paint a large area very quickly, it doesn't take them forever to do it. So, at least six brushes. Some of them will come with up to a dozen. And having one of those is so nice. I went and bought myself a set of nice natural hair brushes. It's a set of, I think, 24, two dozen brushes. And I think it ran me $25. And it comes with half of them are detail brushes and half of them are broad brushes. Some of them have flat ends. Some of them have rounded
Round
ends,
end,
so I have
yep.
the option of both, which is really nice depending on what I'm painting. And you can use those paint brushes for, you know, if you do the Bob Ross style painting or if you paint other things for hobbies, it works for those too. So it's one of those like multi-hobby gifts that you can give people. And when you get the good quality brushes, they last so much longer than the cheap stuff. So definitely worth. And it will go very nicely with the apron that we mentioned at the top of the episode.
There you go. Tie it all back in. Okay, my next one is making a scrapbook of costumes, photos, and events for your cosplayer friends so they can kind of have a way of reliving the memories. Now, this one does require a little bit more time and effort and energy because you're going to have to call together all of this content and actually create the scrapbook. The nice thing is that there are a number of websites, the legitimate websites out there that will give you the opportunity to like to print things. So if you don't want to do like the actual scrapbooking portion yourself, or you're not very interested in it, you can do a digital version of it and then have it printed out. And the reason this came up to me was a couple of years ago, one of my really close friends actually did this. She did like a year in review for her cosplay, and it was fun for her because it gave her the opportunity to kind of talk through not only the things that she loved about making with those costumes, but why she chose the characters, what she really enjoyed about the experience, what she learned through it all. And, you know, that's kind of a fun way to help relive those memories and share them with other people. And you can kind of do the same thing with your friends and be like, okay, I'm making this scrapbook because I really was inspired by this costume, or I really loved you in this character, and that's why I'm putting all of these pieces together. So here's your year in review from my perspective. And it's a much more personal gift. It's much more touching and thoughtful, and it does take more of your time. So, but
it'll last though. It'll longer last. Than maybe even that costume does.
It's going to last. It's one of those things where you know your friend is going to keep it, because that is like, this is a lifetime of memories in just this one book, even though it only covers two or three different costumes that they've built.
And if you want to, you can do things like embroider their characters onto it, or you can get little enamel pins of their characters and put it on there. Like, you can decorate it.
There are different ways that you can kind of dress it up and make it a little bit more customized and personal.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Just if you ship those, make sure you get a very sturdy box.
Don't do a padded envelope. Make sure it's like...
Yeah, please don't.
Super protect that box and then some.
Yes, and also make sure that you put a plastic bag or some sort of waterproof protection over it when you ship it, just because things happen in shipping occasionally, and you do not want water to get on those. It will mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to protect it until it gets to its destination. All right. Speaking of getting things accidentally wet, sandpaper kit.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people, when they first start out making props, they'll go to the store and they'll get a pack of sandpaper.
Yes.
Except that the pack of sandpaper all comes with the same grit sandpaper.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily know, one, there are many grits of sandpaper, but two, the different grits have different uses.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a risk of using the wrong grit sandpaper for what you're trying to do, and it actually can make your life more difficult as you're making props.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get one of the assortment kits, which you may not be able to find in retail stores that have a huge assortment, you may have to go to a hardware store or even an automotive place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the better place where you'll find sandpaper, especially those that come with the higher grits. So if you go to the retail stores that have hardware sections, you might be able to find grits up to maybe 800.
Yeah.
800 is not as far as you need to go. You need to be going up to like 1,000, 2,000 grit. And so you may have to go to a hardware store to find assortments that come starting with, I think 100 is realistically the lowest you really need. You can get 50. You don't need it. 100 is enough. Go from 100 all the way up to either 1,000 or 2,000. And that way you can experiment with the different grits. You can cut sandpaper up.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfectly okay. It doesn't hurt your scissors. In fact, it'll help sharpen your scissors, surprisingly.
Absolutely.
But you can cut a little square, you can cut a little strip off of the sandpaper so that you can wet it, because generally speaking, wet sanding is what you'll do a lot of the time. So you'll wet the paper and then see what the grit feels like, see what it does to whatever it is you're sanding, so that you kind of get an idea of, oh, that's how much this sands off, or oh, that's how little this sands off. And you always start low, start with the 100s, 200s, and move your way up.
Move your way up, yeah.
Right, so that you're finishing off with the thousands level sandpaper, which is very, very, very fine. so that you get a nice glossy finish on whatever it is you're working on.
Yep.
So sandpaper assortment kit is very, very helpful. I buy them for myself all the time, and I do use them.
All right, my very last one, and this is definitely the most expensive option that I have on my list. It is sponsor your friend's next cosplay build. And I brought this up because this is something that I've been seeing so much more often online is, sponsor my cosplay build, sponsor my cosplay build. Some of them are from content creators, obviously. Some of them are just individuals looking for just a little bit of extra help to kind of push them over the finish line so they can get their last little bits of accessories or their wig or their shoes, what have you. And honestly, if you've got the means to do this and you really want to help out your friend and they have this idea for a costume, but they just don't have the finances right now to take care of it, you could help give them a little bit of money and be like, hey, let me sponsor your next cosplay project. Here you go. It's pretty straightforward. It really depends on your friend too, if they would be okay or open with this idea. Don't just assume that it's a good idea because some people are just very much like, no, don't do that. But there are some people who are very open to it and they're like, you know what? That's a fantastic gift. It's like, I'm not entirely sure what to get you. I know you really like cosplay and you're working on this costume. So what if I just help like give you X amount of dollars so you can go continue working on this costume and finish it up?
And you can do that at different levels too.
Oh, yeah,
You don't have to
absolutely.
necessarily sponsor the entire costume. If you want to sponsor part of it,
Part of it,
perfectly okay.
yeah. I'm sure your friend would be more than happy to be like, wow, you are really thoughtful for thinking about this. Thank you so much. This is going to save me so much time and trouble and effort. Now I can just get the fabrics that I need and I can really get this underway.
So the last one I have, you'll see I keep looking down, is because I have a list I'm actually looking
Yeah,
at
I've
in
got a
my
list
head.
over to the side. That's what I've been
Yeah,
reading.
I'm reading off my list. The last thing is a sewing maintenance kit, but I know we've given that one before. It usually
Yes.
comes with a little bit of sewing machine oil. It might come with a little canned air. It comes with a little cloth so you can clean your sewing machine. It comes with a little portable screwdriver, usually about yay big, so that you can adjust the tension, so that you can take apart portions of the bottom if you need to go ahead and look at the bobbin and the feed and such. And occasionally they might come with different specialty feet too. But what I wanted to add to it is not just having the sewing maintenance kit. Get the person a set of metal bobbins. So many people will go and get the cheapy sewing machine at the store, and they come with these horrible plastic
Plastic
bobbins
bobbins, yeah.
that do not work well at all with any sewing machine I have ever owned. More often than not, those bobbins get tangled more often than the metal ones. The metal ones are a bit of an investment. They are not as inexpensive as the plastic ones, because you can get a set of like 12 plastic ones very cheaply. There's a reason they are cheap. Go ahead and get a set of a dozen metal ones. Metal bobbins do not go bad.
Nope.
They do not generally get dented or bent. They will last you your lifetime as long as you take care of them. Yes, you may accidentally lose them, but I can't help that.
It's gonna happen.
Other than that, they will not take damage. They will last you forever. I love and cherish and adore my metal bobbins. I do not like using the plastic ones at all. I try and avoid them as much as I can. And that said, you may need to get them two sets of metal bobbins, because generally speaking, those who sew like to have preloaded bobbins with different thread colors.
Yeah.
So you'll generally have a set of one bobbin per spool of thread that you have, so that you have a matching set whenever you go to sew things. So, like, I have a white bobbin with white thread, black bobbin with black thread, brown bobbin with brown thread. I have purple, I have blue, red, yellow, orange, I have green, I have gold, like metallic gold, I have metallic silver, I have monofilament, which is clear. And it's not like when you wind up a bobbin and you've set it up with sufficient thread, it's not like when you're done, it's like, oh, I'm going to take all the thread off so I can reuse it with a different color. No, you leave that color on there until you've used it up, which is why you need so many bobbins, is you don't take off what's there to reset it. You use it up, and then you can load another color onto it. So you'll probably want to give them like two dozen bobbins, They will use every single one.
Yeah, can confirm this.
Yeah, but it's very worth the price. It's almost as good as buying a nice sewing machine, but those are usually several hundred, if not thousands of dollars, and I'm not going to put that forward as a gift to buy somebody. So just getting nice bobbins is a step up.
That's a big improvement in one sewing quality of life.
It is huge. Seriously. Oh, it's so much better to have metal bobbins.
Yeah, I can't confirm it. So the thing with the plastic ones is if you do any type of needle pointing, specifically like cross stitching or embroidery, you know how it sometimes gets where the thread gets tangled up as you're making the stitches. And so they recommend that you use some type of beeswax or something to kind of help keep the thread from getting untangled. Imagine that with the plastic bobbin. If you've ever had a bird's nest or a rat's nest happen on your spool, yeah, that can happen quite often on a plastic one, and there's really not much you can do unless you want to beeswax the entire thing of
You have to
thread.
take the whole thing off.
And it's a nightmare. Whereas, because the way the metal bobbins are designed, it kind of helps keep things smooth when you're spooling and unspooling it. So the chances of a rat nest happening are incredibly limited. It still can happen. It can always happen with thread because thread is thread. But it helps minimize that chance. And it just seems like somehow with the metal bobbin, it sews more smoothly. It just comes out so much more cleanly.
The plastic surface can get scuffed.
Yes.
Or it can get dented or scratched. And when that happens, it will actually feed less smoothly in the machine. So it'll catch on things.
Yes.
Whereas the metal bobbins just don't. Like at most, you might be able to dent one if you try really hard, but they won't scratch, they won't scuff. So they'll run smoothly in your machine.
My machine has absolutely dented one of those.
Oh, the machine will. I mean, the person. Like, as a person, I'd have to
Okay, no.
try to dent.
Yeah, like if you unless you're intentionally trying to damage them with like a hammer or something, that's one thing,
You're
but
right.
your machine might if you're
No, the machine can damage everything.
My machine has done some damage to some bobbins. You know, it's a powerful little
Oh,
sucker.
yeah. No, I have had my needle attempt to go through a plastic bobbin.
Oh, multiple times on my case, absolutely.
It did not turn out well. It was
No.
not cool.
For anybody.
Yeah, the idea of wearing the plastic safety shield glasses or goggles as you're sewing is not necessarily a bad one. And before people say, "Oh, you're going overboard," like that's drama. If you've ever had a needle shatter on a sewing machine, you
Gosh.
will understand how important
Yeah.
having safety gear is.
It freaks me out every time, and I've become, especially as I've aged, become more aware of changing out my needles more often just to
Yes.
help reduce the potential for the shattering, because I've
Yes.
experienced it way too many times. And even though I wear glasses and I feel like this is a pretty good barrier, I still freak out about it because you never know. You just never know.
Yes, again, having a sharp point is a safe point because it will do its thing more easily. Whereas if
Yes.
you have a blunt needle, the machine will have to work harder,
Harder.
and it's more likely as it tries to punch
Punch
into
through.
things
Yep.
that you run that risk more. So anytime you have sharp objects, whether it's like cutting implements, needles, doesn't really matter, you want them to be sharp. And when they get blunt, and they will
They will.
eventually get blunt, they do not stay sharp forever, you need to replace them. It's like makeup. Makeup does not stay good forever, folks.
No.
It goes bad,
You got to
and it has an
replace them.
expiration date. And you're like, "Oh, well, this looks fine. It still comes out. It still, has the appropriate hue to it." You can actually get infections from it.
Yeah.
It will acquire bacteria. So, same sort of thing. Maintain your stuff.
And on that wonderful note, happy holidays.
To end on a more positive note,
Okay.
these are all meant to be reasonably priced suggestions that will increase the quality of life for the
Except for my
cosplayer.
last suggestion, but we're, you know, that's fine.
Well, you can get the desk version, and it's still reasonably, like, these are generally speaking affordable, and you don't necessarily have to buy them new at the craft store. You can actually go and find some of these on sale, especially If you have places like Goodwill near you where people occasionally donate these sorts of things, like craft lamps that they just don't use anymore, or even estate sales, sometimes people will sell off like really nice quality sewing machines,
Oh
really nice quality
yeah.
lamps.
Man, estate sales are the place to be for sewing stuff because you
Yeah.
will find some really rare Singers that you just can't find anywhere else, and they don't make them like that anymore, but they are like workhorses. They're wonderful.
And they're very affordable,
Yeah.
generally speaking, when you find them that way. And that's the whole point of these gifts, is to say that you don't have to spend a huge amount of money on
No.
people, and they don't have to be overly complicated gifts. You don't have to rack your brain for like the perfect gift or the most creative gift. The whole point is just to make one tiny aspect of their cosplay life better.
Yeah.
And any of these gifts will help improve their cosplay life, and that's really all. And every single one of these, I think, would be very welcomed by any
Yes.
cosplayer that you chose to give them to.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty good list this year of some new and some different things to try out, and so
Yes.
some more sentimental items too, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And some of them are the same as previous years, but the reason for that is just because they're so darn useful. Some things are just useful.
There's one item I didn't bring up that I've repeated at least maybe 3 times because I'm obsessed with it, so I'm not going to mention it.
I actually had a folding table on this list.
Man, let
Because
me tell you about my folding table.
you can get a decent folding table, one of those adjustable ones that has different heights. Like you can get the table height and the
Countertop
chair
height.
height and the counter, yeah, the
That's what
countertop
I
height.
got.
And
And it's on wheels.
you can get a decent one for like 15, 20 bucks. And then if you want to pay slightly more, you can get the ones that come on caster wheels
Yep.
if you want. And it's basically a portable crafting station.
It
You can
is.
take it out onto your patio. You can take it into a different room if you want to. If you need to, say, go into an office where you have extra electric sockets for all your power tools, you can do that. You can go to the garage. But it's just nice to have. And even if you don't take it anywhere, even if it just sits in your craft room, it's just extra table
It's
space.
extra table space, which, oh
And
my
that way, when you
gosh, I
don't
need
need
it.
it, you just fold it
You
up
fold it up.
and you put it away.
Yeah,
And that's it.
mine is pretty cool because it's a three-piece system. So it's a slim piece in the middle, and then you can fold up one side and fold up the other side, or just fold up one side. It does go multiple heights. It is on caster wheels. I have the option to put baskets in underneath it if I want to because of the way that the legs spread apart. And I also made sure to get the ironing cloth on top of it as an optional item. So that way I can use it as an ironing space too for the long strips of bias tape that I love to make so much. There's plenty of options for those, and I think I got the whole thing for $65 when all is said and done. It's a big table. But it's because I have just that small sliver of space in the center and it folds inward on itself. It's compact, so it moves into the corner of the room and I don't have to worry about it. So it's nice.
The one I have is about 2 foot by 4 feet. It has the multiple heights on it. It does not have caster wheels, and it's only two leaves
Yeah.
instead of
Yours is
three,
very
so it folds in half.
lightweight.
But mine also only cost me $10.
Right.
It has been with me for over a decade. It has taken a beating. I have
Beating.
left it outside, and it is still in one piece, still works perfectly well. Joints could probably use a little bit of WD-40 just because it's a little bit rusty and it squeaks whenever I open it.
Sure.
But all the joints still work. Nothing has rusted off. Nothing has broken. And I use it for everything because it's so freaking portable. It
It's
has a little
easy.
carry handle on it too,
Yep.
so that it's basically the size of like two small suitcases when I carry it around. Very easy to port around. And for $10, I've gotten more than like $10 use out of it. I've probably gotten more than $50 use out of it.
Probably more than
Yeah.
that.
I mean, it's even great to take to conventions with you
Yeah.
if you just need table space for all your cosplay stuff, because not everybody likes to throw all their costumes on the floor. Like when you're getting everything out so that you can change into it, it's nice to have the space. If you don't have bed space, obviously, to like lay everything out so that you can put it on. Yeah, don't put your stuff on the floor, people.
No, you don't know what's been
Please
on there.
don't. Oh, I think we know what's been on there, and that's part of the problem.
Oh,
Don't put it on the
goodness.
floor. Put it on the bed. If you have to put it somewhere, put it on the bed or on the table. But that is our gift giving guide for 2024. Hopefully you all find it useful. But of course, if you all would like to add your contributions to our holiday gift guide, if there are things that we forgot that we should know about that we should include in our gift guide, you can join in via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. That hasn't changed, and that's not going to change. It'll always be like that. Makes it easy for me. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as Cod Podcast, and on Blue Sky as Cospod, the one place where we have Cospod. Yay.
Or, of course, you can email us if all of those options weren't enough. podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Hooray! I gotta get the holiday ones going.
Indeed. Also, on a very quick side note, currently nothing about our website has changed. However, when we start off the new year with episode 300, there may be a slight change in how you access the episodes from our website. We will give you all the details if and when that changes, but just keep an eye out if you end up watching our past seasons. Because, of course, we do have an entire backlog of material that you can entertain yourself with.
So
if you would
much.
Like to go back and watch previous seasons of the show.
So much material.
But otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, enjoy all of your Thanksgiving dinners, those of you who celebrate. Keep working on all of those cosplays so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all next time, which is episode 300.
In 2025.
In January 2025.
Yep.
Happy cosplaying, everybody. See you next year.
Bye.